SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 31st. See Home Club for details.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 22nd of January. Later in the podcast, we'll take a look at how much money you really need in your superannuation to retire comfortably and within your living standards with Xavier O'Halloran from Super Consumers Australia. But we're starting today with the share market because the ASX 200 rose 0.33% as investors react to the new reign of US President Donald Trump and further new details of global tariffs. For that and more, I spoke with James Gerrish, portfolio partner at Shaw & Partners. James, how's the market embracing Donald Trump version 2.0 this time around?
So far, Ricardo, pretty positively, but it has been a little bit choppy since he won the election in November. So, November was a strong month. December was a weak month as the market got concerned about, inflation, saying that his policies being inflationary. And then we've had a strong January. So all up, the ASX is up about 3.5% since he won the election in the last, 24, 48 hours since his inauguration. It's been positive, but it's not, it's not hugely positive, I wouldn't say, at this point.
You mentioned inflation. That's one of the uncertainties with a Trump presidency. The other one is that of tariffs, right? We're slowly getting some details about what he's likely to do. Overnight, we heard about him saying he's considering a 10% tariff on imports from China. He also says the EU will likely be next. What do you make of this, particularly about China, this 10% number, if whether or not it's actually applied? Because isn't that less than expected? The implication for markets and for Australia?
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about a 60% tariff on Chinese imports during the election campaign. So rhetoric in the last 24 hours, you're right in saying that he's talking about a 10% tariff. So that would be a positive for obviously China and by implication Australia. But I think there's a lot of moving parts around this. And I think there's at this point in time, tariffs are clearly being used as a negotiating tactic. So markets have learnt from his first term in office. They're learning through the period between the election win and the inauguration that a lot has said. But I think from an investment standpoint, you've got to actually wait to see what's put in place. So the bark a lot more aggressive than the bite, it seems, at this stage. And right now, I don't think the markets are embracing, whether or not it's 10%, whether or not it's 60%. I think we'll probably land somewhere in between. And I think taking a more measured approach to that, I think, is the right way to go at this point, Ricardo.
How is all of this, though, affecting the Australian dollar, especially when we talk about the inflationary implications? And do you think it'll have a bearing on the way the Reserve Bank will think when it meets for the first time in February?
I think the biggest impact for the Reserve Bank or biggest data point for the Reserve Bank will come in the inflation data next week, I think it is. So obviously that's the December quarter inflation print, and that's going to be key for the Reserve Bank to see whether they cut in February. Markets are pricing about a 70% chance of a February cut. In terms of the Aussie dollar, I mean, the Aussie dollar has been weak. We all know that. I think it's more of a function of what's playing out globally. So Trump policy is inflationary, and we've had a reduction in the amount of interest rate cuts forecast in the US since he won the election. So we're now seeing about 1.5 interest rate cuts priced into the US this year. In Australia, we're pricing about a 70% probability in February and another almost three cuts in before Christmas. So interest rate differentials will drive currencies. At the moment, we're going to see, if market pricing is correct, we're going to see more cuts in Australia than we are in the US, and that's what's putting pressure on the Aussie. I don't think the RBA is going to be as focused on the currency. Lower currencies can be inflationary, but their mandate is not around supporting or defending the currency. It can feed into inflation, but I think they'll won't draw those conclusions just yet, Ricardo.
Does Donald Trump's presidency, though, change the way you're investing at the moment?
I think from a bigger picture standpoint, I mean, his policies are pro-growth. So a stronger US economy, more growth over in the US is good globally. It's good for asset prices. It's good for stock markets. So you've got to have a more positive bias when you're investing, I think. There's going to be swings and roundabouts in terms of what areas of the market benefit and what areas of the market don't. But, you know, if I sit back and think about what played out last year, there was some huge divergence across parts of the market in Australia. So, and China was a big influence on that. So if you think about industrials versus resources, industrials outperformed resources by about 35%. More pronounced was banks versus resources. Banks outperformed resources by nearly 50%. So to me, I think some of those performances will change a little bit. There's room for those gaps to close in 2025, and I think that's probably the better way to play it this year. So fading the moves that played out last year is perhaps one of the messages that I'd leave with.
That's James Gerrish there, a portfolio partner at Shaw and Partners. Let's move on to superannuation, where some Australians may be closer than they think to their retirement savings goals. That's despite the rising cost of living and because of solid superannuation returns. Super Consumers Australia says a 65-year-old couple will need around $420,000 in super to maintain their living standards through their retirement. Now, that considers eventual access to the age pension and assumes home ownership. Singles need about $310,000. However, many in that category are falling behind along with renters. So with more, I spoke with Xavier O'Halloran, the CEO of Super Consumers Australia. Xavier, first of all, just how well-equipped are Australians at maintaining their current living standards into retirement?
Yeah, so it really depends. For your typical couple who owns their home, they're largely on track. In fact, we find they're a bit in front of what they need to save to keep up with what the current crop of retirees are spending in retirement. But for singles, it's a different story. They're quite far behind, about $120,000, in fact, off the targets we've got for a typical single and what they'll need going into retirement. And similarly for renters, well off what they'll require to maintain a similar standard of living as their home-owning peers as they head into retirement. They'll need to save about 1.5 times more than what a homeowner will because of those ever-increasing costs of rent.
So go through those actual numbers. How much money do people actually need, those singles and couples? And how did you work this out exactly? And I guess, what does it mean to maintain the current standard of living?
Yeah, so the way we figured this out is we looked at what the current crop of retirees are spending across the entire income distribution. So obviously some people spend less in retirement, some people spend more. We also made sure at none of those levels people were at increased risk of financial stress with the targets that we put in front of people. So we wanted to give people something good to aim for that will make sure that they're able to have good retirement outcomes. We extended the amount out across from age 65 to 90, which is a kind of typical retirement life cycle for a lot of people. And then we stress tested it against different market conditions to make sure that people could have real confidence that if they reach these savings targets, they'll be able to get these types of income levels that we've put into our numbers consistently across the course of their retirement. So to give you an idea of the types of numbers that we've got, so for a median Australian, someone about in the middle of the pack, they'd need to save about $310,000. And that will deliver $43,000 a year tax-free, which is important to note as well. That's a combination of that $310,000 in their super savings combined with the age pension. So we take some of the hard work out of figuring out what kind of income you'll get when you combine your age pension with your superannuation savings. So that target I mentioned just then, that's for singles, but a lot of people heading into retirement will be part of a couple. So if they own a home and they have $421,000, they'll deliver an income of $62,000 across their retirement. So what we aim to do is give people a bit of confidence and take some of the numbers out of figuring out what kind of income your superannuation will deliver as you hit retirement.
How has that changed over time?
Yeah, so obviously with cost of living increases, particularly over the last year, we've seen some pretty big increases on the same numbers last year. Across those different savings targets, we see increases between 10 and 15%. But the good news is the age pension is designed to keep track of inflation. It increases with inflation. And also superannuation savings have increased by a similar amount over the same time period. They've gone up by about 13% over the last year. So for people that stay invested in the market with their super, combined with an age pension, a lot of those cost of living increases for retirees will be mitigated by those investment returns and age pension improvements.
Now, you mentioned while many people may be ahead of these targets, particularly couples, I think you mentioned that singles and renters, though, are significantly behind, especially for those people approaching retirement. What do they need to know about, I guess, boosting that number or making sure their super is being invested in the right way to reach these goals?
Yeah, so there's a few things you can do, particularly if you're a homeowner. You obviously have the home as an asset. So you might, at that point in life, if say kids have moved out of home, you might look at that asset and go, actually, I can downsize and put a bit more into my super and my savings, which will deliver more of an income across retirement. But then there's some basic hygiene things you can do around your super too. Make sure you're in a good performing fund, which is now easier than ever. There's a comparison tool on the ATO website, which will help you figure out if your fund's performing or not, because you're likely to stay invested for a long time across your retirement. So having those good investment returns across that period of time will make a big difference as well. For some people, unfortunately, they might have to look at working for a little bit longer, as well. But then there are other things you can do, like tracking down, making sure you're applying for the age pension as soon as you're eligible to. We found that almost half of people don't actually do that. And around a third of people wait about a year before they apply for it, even though they're eligible. They're giving away basically tens of thousands of dollars that they could be accessing otherwise. So there are things you can definitely do to help bridge that gap, particularly if you're a homeowner. If you're a renter, it's a bit of a harder picture to fix, to be honest. And we really think there's opportunities for government to be doing more here. Rent assistance has not been keeping track with the increase in rent costs. And so we think there's a big call on government to increase rent assistance so that we don't find retirees who rent falling into poverty once they hit retirement.
That is Xavier O'Halloran there from Super Consumers Australia. Don't forget, if you do enjoy this podcast, give it a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click the subscribe button.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.